Word, it says, when Jesus is lifted up, He said, I will draw all men to the Father. So Lord, I just want to thank You for today and just ask You to bless each brother and sister that came here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry. I realized it wasn't on. Well, what a beautiful morning. What a great opportunity we have again today to gather at the feet of Jesus and worship Him in truth and spirit. It says that you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what a blessing that is. So let's rejoice in that today, that we know the truth and the truth has set us free. What a blessing it is to come to Jesus in an openness. In truth, not hiding nothing. Being willing to hear, being willing to being open before God. Being free in the Lord Jesus Christ and loving truth and nothing but the truth. Remember a time when truth was not very interested in my life? I didn't like truth. I did not want to hear the truth because, I was trying to justify my sinful life. But today it's a blessing to hear the truth and to ask God, okay, God, if that's the truth, where do I go from here? Open up our hearts to the Lord. Now I remember skipping around that, trying to justify. But in the way down deep, I knew what the truth was. And praise the Lord that's for every one of us in here. Every one have been set free. As a truth, says what is truth? And I just looked that up in one little phrase. And it says, truth is a property of being in accord with fact or reality. Truth is being in accord, one accord with fact or reality. And that's the Word of God. That is truth. The only truth that we have. And being in one accord with Jesus Christ is a good place or a good reason to rejoice this morning. Or are we still trying to figure out what the truth is, like Pilate? Pilate says in John 18, there, a few verses there, when Jesus was talking to him, and Jesus answered him saying, thou, this thing of thyself, or no way, I'll back up. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the own chief priests have delivered thy unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And we know what Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And Jesus just shared with him that I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Pilate did not get it. It says, what is truth? And when he had this said, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in this man. And I ponder that. And there is Pilate that he asked the Lord Jesus, or Jesus just revealed the truth to him, and he asked, what is truth? And it seems like today, many are still trying to find out what is truth. So this morning is why I'm rejoicing that we know the truth of God. And as we see here, as far as I know, that Pilate never did find the truth. And also many of our friends that I used to be with have not found the truth of God. They have not found the truth that is in Jesus, where Jesus can set them free from their guilt and sins. And I remember when I started reading the Word of God years back, and I come across verses like Romans 10:13, where it says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:9, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I remember started pondering some of those verses. What do they mean? And it came from someone giving me some of the gospel tracts of some of those verses, the salvation verses in there. So this morning I praise God that God revealed the truth. And I know most of you as well, praise the Lord, rejoicing that the Lord revealed the truth. Because what I want to share is how God used those verses in my life to reveal the truth to me. I took those same verses and went to many of my other friends and shared them with them what this really means and how you can be set free. But they never received the truth. They never received what many of us here have received. Share briefly a testimony. When I was full of guilt and sin, there's no rejoicing in not knowing the truth. So if you're in here and you have not received the truth, you can't rejoice in the truth in the Word of God. There's no rejoicing. So this morning it's a blessing to take the Word of God and just to open it up and allow the Lord to speak and rejoice in the words that comes out. And there was no, when I was full of guilt and sin, there was no rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Because yes, I had a lot of fun, earthly fun for a season, all kinds of sports and horse racing and golfing and many other things that I tried to fill that void, and none of that was truth. It seemed like the more I tried to fill the void, the bigger the void got. I remember waking up in a Monday morning. Knowing that I wasted the whole weekend, I felt empty. I felt sick. That all day Sunday, I was watching my favorite sports team, or I was out golfing on a golf course and all that stuff, and it's all emptiness. And I was trying to find something to fill that void, but I was not searching for the truth, searching things that to satisfy the flesh. But praise God today that we had a congregation here full of people that found the Lord Jesus. And I remember feeling sick but I had no power over anything in my life. As Paul says in Romans 7:13, he says, it talks about the struggles of two natures. He says, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And until that happened, I found no victory. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I remember being there. If then I do that which I would not, I consent under the law that is good. No, then it is no more that I do, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that which I do not, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that which I would not, is no more than I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind myself, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And we see the contrast between the spirit and the flesh here. And that's what we're trying. When you're trying to walk this life without knowing the truth of God, without opening your heart up to the Spirit of God, we know it's a struggle, as we read here in Romans. And that was my life for many years. It's a hard life to live, but that's why many take their own lives and suicide because they cannot handle the stress and guilt in this life. So praise God. I can praise God that He revealed some of those verses, the elementary verses to me early in my Christian life. And the scripture says in John 8:32, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." In 34:2 it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of God makes the person free. Talking about, you know, being free in Christ and how the truth sets you free. And I think I might have shared that here before after I written this down. Once when I lied to my old boss about about some things one day, and it wasn't actually a lie. I mean, I went around about. He asked me a question and I didn't answer what he really asked me. So with that, I felt that it was probably it wasn't the truth. And how that tugged in my heart, and I seen I was guilty before God. And as I read before, the truth shall set you free. Remember. But this year, I wasn't free. I remember telling myself, "God, I'm sorry. I didn't answer the question He asked me." So I remember it tugged on my heart until I had to call him and said, "Yes, the other day when you asked me that question, said I didn't come about and ask you or answer what you asked me. I said I'm sorry. I said I should have said this, and I answered it as He asked, and it set me free. I was free again in the Lord." So it's a blessing. Then the same old boss, he took it very well. I mean, he said thank you for being honest, you know, and all that. But the same old boss, I wouldn't call him a Christian. Oh, I need to carefully how I say that, but he's a mainstream Christian. Then one day he called me, the same boss, and he said that we have a problem in a house where some ceiling joists are coming down. And he said, "I told the homeowners that they put too much stuff in the attic." He said, "Just go pick the stuff out of the attic and go fix it, and then you can bill me, you know." And I remember going there and going in the attic, and he already had all the stuff out of the attic. So I went in the attic and I started looking around, and these props that we had up tied up to the rafters. So whoever nailed these, it was like 8 foot tall. They put the nails in, they angled in. And they did not grab like they should. They only came through the two before about a half inch, and all these started pulling away. So I looked. A homeowner came up, and I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "This is not caused by too much weight in the attic." I said, "This is caused by a defect of the framing." I said, "We'll take care of this here, and we'll fix it." And so we jacked up the ceiling joists and tied all these in. And he thanked me for that, and he left. And then about an hour later, my old boss called me and says, "You know, Mark," he said, what did you tell the homeowner?" He said, I told him he had too much stuff up there." And I told him, "Well," I said, "no, that wasn't really the case." I said, "What happened is we didn't nail the props properly, and I took care of it." And he goes, "Well, you made me look like a liar." He said, "Remember, you need to make me look good." And I remember saying, I didn't say nothing. I was like, making him look good. But the truth, you know, I could have told the homeowner the same thing. Yeah, you know, too much stuff, but that's not free. It's not truth, and it's not free. Free in Christ. It says the truth shall set you free. So reading the Word of God is where I find truth today. And it's a blessing to walk in the truth of God. The Word of God will never change. This book here will never change. When men change from year to year, day to day. But God's Word is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I praise God for that. I rejoice in that. That we have a foundation that is sure and strong and it will never pass away, and that is the Word of God. You know, and we might look at that and after being Christians here for 18 years and say, "Oh yeah, what? Oh yeah, we all believe it." You know, 18 years now we believe that the Word of God is true. So what are you trying to say? Well, today we know that we look around us in society around us. Not many people read the Bible and take that as truth. They call it as men's wisdom, or men's writings, as men recordings, and all this stuff. But we see this word was inspired by the Word of God. Every one of these, every page, every verse, every chapter, as I see, it was written, it was placed in here by God. So that's the reason I can say we can rejoice today that we can take the Word of God, or take this Bible right here, take this book, and see God pinning His words down for us today. So it's a roadmap so we can be reconciled back to God. And what a contrast, you know, as I shared there, being free or guilty. So today I am rejoicing that the blood of Jesus Christ has set me free from death. But not without a burden for the lost and dying around us. As I pinned down there this earlier here about how God has set me free and pulled several of us. I know James and Nate and a few others. We were in this group. Good friends. I love those guys. We spent a lot of time together. But when God pulled us out and set us free, I'm rejoicing, but not with a burden, not without a burden for those people. And we went back and shared our hearts with them, but the truth was never revealed to them, and I guess from God. And ponder that. But yeah, trusting that the Lord will still do a work in those hearts. So I'm rejoicing today, but not without a burden for the lost and dying around us. I can say that. So when I come across the verses like in Romans 10:13, you know, and John 1:9, I remember it was James and I were sitting around a campfire. We got some of those tracts out, and we were talking about those verses and wondering, what is like Romans 10:13? What does that really mean? You know, we didn't understand truth. We didn't understand what the Bible. We didn't hardly read the Bible, so it was all new to us as we got the Bible out and started looking at some of these verses where it says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And John 1:9, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We've seen them, but all of our life we've been taught falsely. We were not taught the truth. We were taught that you could only hope. Do the best you can. And I know that's been changing. I praise God for that. But as we're sitting around the campfire that night, I know James and I were both sitting there with some alcohol in our hands, but we were searching for the truth. And all of a sudden, one of us said, well, you know what? I believe it means exactly what it says. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. And I remember that the first time that truth really coming into my heart and knowing that the Lord Jesus meant what he says. If I confess my sins, if I tell him I'm sorry, I can remember that really it was real in my heart that he'll forgive me. What a blessing. What a change in my life that happened at that moment where I was made, God started doing a work in my life. As we started reading the Word of God and taking the Word of God literally, not trying to justify it anymore, not trying to justify our alcohol that we were drinking and all that stuff. And by the way, it didn't take long as the Word of God showed us that alcohol is not of God, not from God. Especially we've seen all the broken marriages and the problems that we were coming from. So as we've seen verses like a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God, and soon God revealed all those things toward us. So when I read those verses, I knew it was truth, and we wanted it badly. I remember we started searching the Word of God. I remember waking up early in the morning, going to bed late at night, reading. And all these nuggets started coming out and popping out. And it was a blessing to have the truth of God revealed. I rejoice today for the truth. But I knew it was truth and I wanted it badly. And I started along the journey toward heaven. And I know it was ever a bumpy road as I started confessing my sins and my faults. And the fiery darts that started coming my way from family. From my siblings even from my wife at that time, she wasn't born again, and I remember started confessing some things and repenting, and she didn't understand what was going on, and she just thought that we could just remain how we were, and we could just change a lot of things, and Satan started coming at us in many ways, but as I had a hunger for truth, then there's nothing that was going to divert my eyes from the Lord Jesus. I set my eyes on Jesus, and I wanted to go. But I remember many times there was I was crying because many of my siblings that did not understand what was happening, and I was getting a lot of accusations and a lot of hard times. But praise God, today it's not that way. Today many of them understand a lot of the truth, and they understand where I'm at and why they accept me where I'm at. But the truth has set me free. And I'm rejoicing in that. And that's all I wanted to know is the truth and nothing but the truth. And I set my eyes toward Jesus, the Savior of our souls. As John 8:12 says, as Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of this world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but be the light of life. And I praise God for the work that He has done in me, and not just me, but for the whole congregation here. As He took this stony, He said, a new heart will also I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. I cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from your all uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and I will increase it and lay no famine upon it. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree. Look at that, the blessings, the word of God, the truth. He says, if you go in my word as I showed you and be faithful and walk in the spirit of God, He says, I will multiply the fruit of thy tree, of your tree. And I see that today of the children, of my just the example for my children. I see the fruit being multiplied in the tree. His promises, His word is true. And you shall receive no more reproach of famine upon among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. He says, For your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed, and confounded your own ways, O house of Israel. And as He said there in verse 31, He says, remember the iniquities for your abominations. Remember, I think if I see that, it talks about remember where you were delivered from and where you were at. Thank you. Where God has brought you from. And if we remember where we were at and how, where we were at one time, how God delivered us from that bondage, it will keep our hearts rejoicing in the truth, because He has set us free. In Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. A few more verses here, just rejoicing over it, is Philippians 3, verse 7 through 15. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And we can all say that. We had a lot of earthly gains in our life. But when we came to the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ, we counted them loss, as Paul said, for the excellency of Christ. Yet doubtless, I count all things but loss for the ecstasy of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not in having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made comfortable into death, if by any means I might attain into the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which is also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are to come. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be as perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So I see that as we walk in this life and to continue on rejoicing, Paul says, you know, I mean, if we continue looking back at all the things that we were involved with, and all the things that we have done, hurt our family, hurt Christ, and all that, the rejoicing would not come. We would always be pondering on the things that we did and we shouldn't have. But Paul says, I don't look back. I look forward to the things to come, and I do. I'm rejoicing in the things that God has promised for His children, and that is eternal life, everlasting life. In this life here, we can rejoice because He has set us free, and He put us in the kingdom of God. And says, know you not that ye are the kingdom of God that within us? So we can rejoice from there. Then also I see that the promises to come, that is, if he that remaineth faithful The endure until the end shall be saved. It says it shall be spent eternity. I know this message might seem a little out of balance, just speaking on rejoicing and not touching on the sinful part. But it seems like today, many professing Christians that seem to lack the joy of Jesus Christ. Lack of rejoicing. I don't sense that coming from here, this fellowship. But I just want to encourage us, you know, to continue on looking on the things to come, but yet have a burden for the loss and be sensitive to the sin. Yes, that sin would remain still exceedingly sinful in our lives. But what happens when a brother or sister gets overwhelmed with works or duty? That's what happens. We allow that. If we get overwhelmed in the things of this life, in work or duties or whatever it may be, our mind will start focusing on things that we need to get done day after day after day, and it will wear us down. And all of a sudden, it's the things that of God become dimmer and dimmer. So let's keep our mind focused on the things to come and the things of God, and do not let the things of this world distract us. If we do, it says our joy will start to diminish little by little. And start losing focus on what we were created for. And we were created to worship God, bring honor and glory to Him, the one that set us free by sending Jesus Christ to this earth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come to the Father but by me." And we know that. We tried many, many things early on in our life to set our conscience free. I know I did, and I'm sure many of you did as well. At the time, I wanted to remain where I was at in this life. So I started doing other things. I remember getting rid of my TV and quit trimming my beard, and I actually got a bigger hat, and I got rid of my driver's license. I wanted my conscience clear, but I could not. It never got clear. I never found that peace of God in my heart until I found Jesus. As Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me." And it's the only way back to God is through Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians 13 here, a few verses. Paul says here, "Charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself up, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, speaketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." And he said, "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth." Paul's word, rejoice in the truth. "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, there shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But we know the word of God is everlasting to everlasting. It will not diminish. It will not fade away. It will not weaken itself. But the word of God will stand sure." So I think a few more things here, as I've seen in Hebrews. As I was reading through here this week, and I think as I was pondering and thanking the Lord for and rejoicing in the truth, and I was thinking, you know, as Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me." As I was set free, I was rejoicing what Jesus done is the word of God, how he can set every man free. He became the offering once and for all for every one of us, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, verse 9, it says that, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do the will of God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes and same sacrifices, which cannot take away sins. You know, I was talking about that before. That I was doing sacrifices in my life, and it cannot take away sins. So I praise the Lord for the truth of God. He says, it talks about, rather have obedience than sacrifice. There's a verse. He just wants us to obey the word of God rather than sacrifice. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made the footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That was prophesied way back in the Old Testament when God was saying, he says, this is the covenant that I will make unto them after those days, saith the Lord. I will write my laws into the heart. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the spirit that came and convicts each and every one of us today. So I'm just thankful for the truth. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. I'm rejoicing in that he come and it says one verse where it says that in the New Testament where it says that not every neighbor has to go tell his neighbor of the things, but the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that comes. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. There were now, where remission of sins is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another and provoke into love and to good works. And I praise the Lord for the blessing to be able to believe and trust in the Word of God. And the remission of the sins. Let's not forget who and how we were purged from our sins. In Hebrews 9, a few more verses here. In Hebrews 9:12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling unclean, sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself once without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I praise the Lord for that. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Or do we still doubt at times? Or are we fully convinced that that Jesus Christ, what he done on the cross and his death and resurrection, do we fully believe that was for the sins of mankind? For whoever may want to come. Or where are we at on that? How can we rejoice over verses like that? How Jesus Christ was crucified for mankind. But we know that it had to happen. Over that, talking about how Jesus was beaten, he torched and crucified upon the cross, and it was a painful, agonizing death, separated from his Father, who were together from the beginning. But I praise God how the Word of God comes to pass from chapter after chapter after chapter. Psalms 119 talks about the truth here, way back as David was pondering on that. I think it was Psalms. Yeah, Psalms 119, two verses here. It's David, not wasn't David, I guess. It says, "The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." It says the truth is true from the beginning. The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in the awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as the one that findeth great spoil. He rejoiced at the word of God, and that's what I'm encouraging, that we rejoice from the word of God. You know, and as we see how the scripture comes and how it from verse after verse, from year after year, as the time lays out, it doesn't change, and how things come to pass as the scripture prophesies, and it comes to pass. It talks about when a child is born; he's born after the nature of Adam. And as you watch that child grow, we see the selfishness and stubbornness and rebellion. As he's older, his sinfulness, and as we see that come to pass, the scripture is true. It talks about every one of us were born after the nature of Adam. We had a sinful nature, and as you watch babies today, you'll see them throw these fits, and they'll have the nature that needs to be dealt with as they come to the age of accountability. And we've seen as they get older the sinfulness and the shame that brings the parents. And Jesus says, unless you repent, you will not see the kingdom of God, and they will perish in the lake of fire. Then we see, as the scripture says, unless you get born again, you become a little child into the kingdom. How the scripture is true as you get older, and you see a 13-year-old, 14-year-old repent and becomes like a child. And all the selfishness and all the stubbornness and rebellion and sinfulness all just disappeared. So praise the Lord for that. So just a few more verses here. You know, talks about rejoicing in the truth to come. You know, as we talk about the rebellion and all that, as the scriptures talks about, let me touch on that just a little bit. Rejoicing in the truth. The scripture says, unless a man is born again, he will no wise enter into the kingdom of God, okay? He will be cast into the lake of fire. So how can we rejoice from that? That's what I ponder and ask you. How can we rejoice from that? And as we know, it's not the heart of God that any would perish, but all come to repentance. That's God's heart. But you think about that, heaven, as the children of God, if that wouldn't come to pass, if the rebellious and the sinners and all that somehow would enter into the kingdom of heaven too, what would that be like for the children of God? After this life, after we face all this rebellion and sin and this earth, we're in quite a mess here, and we want to escape this place. And if we get to heaven and all that's there, that wouldn't be heaven. So we can rejoice in the Word of God that those that don't repent, you know, that will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I say that carefully, but all have the opportunity, you know, to come to repentance. It's not His will that any would perish, but all come to repentance. So that gives us children of God. You know, we don't want anybody to go to anybody to perish. So that gives us should give us a burden. It should give us a burden to go tell them about the things that are to come. So I just want to read a little bit on the things to come. The Word of God talks about those that remain faithful. Endure till the end. Here is the word of God. This is the truth. This is the truth. It says, "And he showed me a pure water in Revelation 22, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations." And here John wrote down, he says, "And there shall be no more curse." This is the truth. There won't be no more curse. "But the throne of God and the lambs shall be in it. The lambs, the children of God will be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and there need be no more candle, neither light or the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign in it forever and ever." So we see here that, so we rejoice in that there will be no more curse there. It'll be pure. It'll be holy. It'll be righteous. It'll be for the children of God to dwell eternity in peace. Now rejoice in the truth of God. And he said unto me, their sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book, the truth of this book. He said, blessed are you. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I have heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he to me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brother and the prophets. And them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be whole, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And we see that there's no wickedness in the heaven. No one that defiles anything will not be there. The New Jerusalem it talks about. I'll read a few things here in Revelation 21. And there came unto me the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now this as I read this here, I praise God for the word of God here, because he's talking about if we remain faithful, this is what we can experience in that day. And he carried me away in the spirit, John said, to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, like a jasper stone, light clear as crystal. And had a great wall and high and 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north and the south, and the west 3 gates, and all the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. Then verse 22 on down, it says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. God will be the temple. He'll be the light. He's going to be the light. He is the temple. And the city had no need of sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and shall the kings of the earth do bring glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all, day and night, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all nations into it. Then the last verse it says, and there shall be no wise enter. There shall no wise enter into the, anybody that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Anybody that defileth the word of God will not enter into the kingdom of God. It's the word of God. It's going to be those that do righteous, those that love the truth. We know that in the kingdom of heaven, there will be no more deception, no more fighting, anger, bitterness, moral. It'll all be passed away. So my plea is here that if you are not born again, I ask you to come in and rejoice with us. You need to repent and find that true peace of God. And you also can rejoice in the word of God. And we know that, as I shared before, without the truth in your heart, you're not a rejoicing person. You cannot rejoice from the word of God. So my burden, I'm just going to let some of these verses go here. Maybe I should read one more verse here. Let me read one more here. So my burden is that we would have a hunger and thirst after righteousness for truth. And the scripture says that he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. David here says, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all of his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. But the Lord is, he is nigh. For everyone that calls upon him, and all that call upon him in truth, he says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and he will save them. That's the mercy of God. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all that wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So that's just my encouragement, that we would continue on rejoicing in the truth. If we're open and honest before God, God will reveal all truth to us. That's the promise. And some will say, I know I heard recently someone say, you know, what if I get to heaven, stand before God on the throne on judgment day, and I didn't know about a certain thing, and I just said, no, that's not possible. He that is searching and seeking for the will of God, God will reveal. He will not let somebody hang outside the door without never knowing the truth. So it's a blessing. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. So I just rejoice today in the Word of God that I, and I'm sure that you as well, are rejoicing that you found the truth. But I look back 18 years ago, 2000, the life that I was living, I was condemned. If I would have been judged in 2000, I would have been guilty for God. But today, I praise God. 18 years of reading the Word of God, the little nuggets that come out year after year, and I still haven't found all the nuggets in here. If you read it with an open heart, God still can he will review truth each day. So I just want to bless you all, and may God richly continue on inspiring us to press on toward the mark.